This week, the Lord's been dealing with me on something, and here's the subject that I'll give. It's My Turn Now is the subject that I would, the title that I would put to this. Where do we hear that said? If we took our children down to the playground, and there's more children than there are swings, you know, a child will watch that swing and going on for a little bit, and they're wanting to swing themselves. And in a little bit, you'll hear them say, it's my turn now. I want to be able to partake of this. If somebody, if you were walking down the street and somebody walked up to you and said, do you want to turn now? Would you immediately say yes? No, what you'd want to do is find out what are you talking about? Because what if it's somebody that came along and he said, yes, I just hit a guy in the head with a baseball bat on the other street, and I want to know if you want your turn now. I don't want any of that. But if he said, you know what, I have been handing out $100 bills. So what we're wanting to do is find out what is this turn about before I say yes. So when I look at Psalms 23, I'm happy to have my turn now with the first part of that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And you know, I can say, sign me up. I want a turn for some of that. I want some of those good things coming into my life. And then we sing this song when we're going to say, it's my turn now. I want some of this. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But that song's not over. But then things change and you're down in the valley. It's my turn now. You know, there's things that I'd say, I'd rather not have that to come to me if I could help it. Psalms 23 did not end with just, he lets me be beside still waters. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, that's something that I'd not just raise my hand for and say, oh, I'm ready for that. I want some of that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? You're with me. You know what? In the good times and in the bad times, there are times that God says, now it's your turn. There's times when I would sign up, just like the little child at the swing, I'd like to have a turn at that now. The good things in my life, I'd like to partake of them. God sometimes sends some tests our way to see what we will do. Here's a place. In 1 Samuel 30, something is happening. David is fitting to have a turn at something. He and his men are coming back home again. And you know, they're probably anticipating what it's going to be home with family again. And it says that what he finds out that the city that they were living in, Ziklag, had been burned with fire. And it's not only that it was burned with fire, but all the family is waiting for me to come home to tell me what to do. The family's gone. They've been taken hostage. And what does it tell us? It says they all wept until there was no more power to weep. You know, they were in a place where it wasn't like those children at the swing. I'd love to have a turn at that. We have things happen. This is what I want to talk to us about today. We have things happen in our life that I love it happening. It's the good things in my life. I'd like to have a turn at that. I'd like to keep on doing that. But then things can change for us. And now it's my turn at something else. My turn at something difficult. It was David's turn at coming to a place where even his men had come to a place where they talked about stoning him. And what did it do about David? It says he encouraged himself in the Lord. The things that happen that I am happy to have happen in my life, they're good times. But there's also some other times that can happen. I'd like to look at a song. It's in number 189. Because we can have both things happen to us. It says, if the sun shines, my heart is cheerful. And it is. I enjoy those good times. But it also said, if the clouds come, I can rejoice. Help me, O Lord, to ever be thankful that I have, like Mary, made the wise choice. And then it says, third verse, welcome the storms, my hope is abounding. Let the waves come, my anchor is sure. Fixed on the rock on which I am standing, how can I fall when everything is secure? It doesn't mean that there's no problems coming in my life. It is that when the difficult times come, I enjoyed the good times. When the difficult times come, He has still promised to be with us through those times. Then there's a place for us. And you know, God was with David in that difficult time that he was in. He did encourage him. But there's a place that I want us to think about. We can go through those times and the Lord helps us. But you know what? There's going to be some other places to where it's my turn now. It's kind of like playing baseball. It's now my turn to go to the plate of decision and make a choice here. What will I do with this? There's a place in 2 Samuel 24 and 2 where David had something. It's his turn now to make a decision about something. And you remember at Ziklag, David went to God and said, "Tell me, what should I do? Should I pursue the enemy or should I not? Lord, I'm needing you to give me some direction." It's different now for David. You know, it can be different for us sometimes in our troubles that we have. We go straight to God. Would you give me some direction? But there's other times that it's my turn now to make some decisions. Look at what David's was, 24 and 2. David was making a choice. I want to number Israel. Why? You know, we can come to some places in our life where I could have an ability to be able to take care of this on my own. My turn to prove where my confidence is placed. You know, if David has 25,000 men that he knows can fight for him, and he's coming against somebody that he has fewer, it's just going to help David feel a little better about his confidence in winning. But I look at this, you know, when David was asking the Lord about, "Here, Ziklag's burned, should I go to pursue or not?" What had his men just been doing? Said they had been weeping until they had no more power to weep. You know, that's not much of a place to have fighting men ready after you wore out from that. But it tells us that he had 600 men that started out with him to pursue and go get their families back. And in just a little bit, 200 of them was so faint that they had to leave them aside and go ahead on with the battle. There are some other places. You know, we're looking at David numbering Israel. Do I have within myself the ability to take care of these things? God gives us some place to be able to do that. But there's some other place where it's my turn now to look at this situation. And I want to be able to say, you know what? I need God in this one. Was it valuable to number your army to see if you can win the battles ahead? How many times did God cause it to be that there was nothing else could be done? Gideon. You remember Gideon was, we read the number of the enemy against the number that Gideon had on his best day. And it was almost 5-1 of the enemy against him. And did God say, "Tell you what, you better get you some more men or you're going to lose"? No. God told him and said, "You got too many. You're going to need to whittle it on down." And you remember it went down to where he had 300 men. And God said, "It's just right now." It was at that point, it was about 400 people on the enemy side against one person on this one. But you know what? He didn't need to number Israel. He just needed to be able to put his confidence in God. I'm finding that for myself today, it is real valuable for me to realize it's not about the odds are against me. It's about me being able to walk with the Lord. What about when David went out to meet Goliath? Did he say, "I tell you what, how many of us do we have? Israel, how many do we have to make a good army here?" He didn't need to, because when Goliath roared his threats, the men started running. So it's hard to count them when they're running. And you know what? It didn't matter to David anyhow. David wasn't dependent on that. What is it? It's David's turn now. And David just turns to the Lord. "The Lord's been with me when I fought the bear. When I fought the lion, he'll be here with me on this also." There is something that is very valuable for us when we're facing decisions to be able to make. And that is 2 Corinthians 3 and 5. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. I want you in 2026 to realize, you know what? It's not about me being able to take care of my problems. I want to be able to recognize, even if I can make decisions to be able to do it, I need God on every one of those to help me. There's a song we sing, I need thee every hour, in joy, the good times, or in pain. It says, come quickly and abide, or life is going to be vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Asking the Lord, Lord, you know what? On my best days, I need you. And it's not about me having sufficiency of myself. Thought about a place over in 1 Samuel 14:6. There's a battle about to go on. Saul realizes they're outnumbered. But his son Jonathan says to his armor bearer, there's just two people here. Jonathan says, I tell you what, let's go up. It's possible that we would be able to make a difference ourselves with the enemy. And it talks to it about Jonathan saying, the Lord could work for us. There is no restraint to the Lord to be able to save by many or to save by few. And if you read that chapter, you'll find where Jonathan and his armor bearer goes up together, and it's the beginning of them winning that battle. I find for us, I want to always remember my sufficiency is not of myself. It's from God. But once I find that sufficiency is in God, I can also be able to direct some things. Psalms 121 and 1. What am I going to do? Where's my sufficiency? I'm going to lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made the heaven and earth. David was losing sight of that when he's looking at, do we have enough? And you know what? 2026, I can lose sight of it when I find I'm checking. Am I strong enough to be able to handle this difficulty I'm facing? We also find it with the spies that went out to Canaan and they looked it over. They came back and all 12 of them saw the good things of the land. It is just as good as what you have told us about. But 10 of them said, we're not able. We look at them and we believe they see us as grasshoppers, and we for sure see ourselves as grasshoppers. We can look at a problem and determine, you know what? I can't handle it. That's okay. If I can say, but you know what? The Lord can handle it, because two men, Joshua and Caleb, said, we are well able. Let's remember that verse always. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. It's in God. But once it is in God, I don't need to fear the things that can come on me that seem to be way too big for me. Because Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able. If the Lord delights in us, we are well able to take it. How different that story would have been if all 12 of those had come back and said, it's going to be tough, but we're not having to fight it on our own. We could not have crossed Jordan just a little bit ago if God didn't help us out. So he is well able to help us. Remember when they crossed Jordan, they picked up some stones and they took them. They set them over on the other side of the river. And they said, this is going to be a remembrance for us. Whenever we see these stones, we're going to remember God helped us in the past. And he can help us out in the future. And so quickly, they forgot that. Just to be before they're even going to cross over, and it cost them so much. What the history would have been if all 12 would have said we're well able. The very next chapter they walked in and God helped them. They didn't have to have the 40 years. They didn't have to have all those that died in the wilderness. I see in that something for me. Because here's what can be done, and here's what David really was doing. There's a place over in Luke 14 where it just seems like it's wisdom, and it would be normally. 14:31. This is what we do. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. Now, that's the way I do things in the world, is I look at a situation. Am I enough to be able to take care of it? But you know what? What we were doing was we got to factor God in to these things. And I got to realize, you know what? My ability, even if I look at this and it says I can handle it, God can take that thing and cause it to crumble while I thought I was going to be able to take care of it. So I look at these things, and there's something else that I need to remember. You remember when Gideon, the Lord said, here's the reason that I'm causing you to, instead of being able to match up, or even instead of 32,000 against 130,000 or something, and we win the battle, the Lord said, the reason I'm whittling you down to where there's no possibility you can do it without me is lest Israel should vaunt itself at any place that I'd be able to say, look at this victory I was able to gain myself. And that's why he says, my glory I will not give to another. We find it all through the Old Testament. When I used to have that, we had the Bible storybook when I was at home, and mom and dad would read it to us as children. Time after time, we see God would bring them down to a place where I can't do it on my own. But then there is God. And I think today, that's what he'd like to be able to do with us too. Psalm 61, 1 and 2. When my heart is overwhelmed, that's when I can't do this on my own. And the devil would love for us to sing of defeat at that time. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. That's what I want to be able to do. We can have good times, and I love them. I want some more of those, just like the little children swinging on the swing. But we can have difficult times come to us, and the Lord be right there. He is with me still. In the sunshine or in the shadow, he's with me still. We sing a song. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. It says, sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom. Have you ever had them? It can be like you're down in the bottom and you don't know how you'll ever be able to rise above this one. Sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom. Just on the other side, there can be such wonderful times, just like Psalms 23. Good times and bad times. By water still or over troubled sea, still it's his hand that leadeth me. Today he will do the same thing for us. But then there's something that I've got to do, and there's one more verse in that song. Lord, I would grasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since it's my God that leads me. So I was thinking of a couple people. Paul, it was his turn one day. He had a trouble come into his life, and just like me, he would like to have gotten rid of it. In 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, he talks about there came a thorn in the flesh, whatever it is. We don't know if it was an affliction or if it was some troubles that he was having, what it was. But he said he had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed 3 times for it to be removed. And then it was gone? No. Still had his trouble. But the Lord says, Jesus says, it's in red letters there, my grace is sufficient for thee. Today, the difficulties that we can face, the times when it's now my turn, and I would rather it not be my turn if possible, Jesus came to it when he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Father, I know my turn is come for this difficult one. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So Jesus is telling Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. In your weakness, my strength can be made perfect. I was looking at the commentary on that, because Paul made a decision on down there in the 10th verse. I take pleasure in infirmities. Now, what does that mean? I just love it when they come. No, what he's saying is he's risen above this problem because God is going to be there with him. I looked at the commentary. It says there's so many benefits that result from trials. See here the power of religion. It not only supports us, but it also comforts us. And I am thankful for it because we have troubles come into our life. And the devil would like to tell us, you know what? God's children are the only ones that are having problems. You remember Psalm 73? When he looked at it, he said, truly God is good to Israel. But that's not the end of the chapter. I started looking around and I saw the people out in the world seem to be having a better things than we are. We're having so much sickness. We're having so many troubles come to us. But what did it say before that chapter was over? I went into the sanctuary and there some things started clearing up in my mind. Because here's the thing. We may not see it all, but there is at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus used one more little story. There's a house on a rock. There's a house on sand. You know what? Probably the house on the sand would never have had problem if the wind didn't blow, if the rains didn't come, if the floods didn't come. It could have probably, if it was just a calm day, there's, you know, here a calm day is 5-mile-an-hour winds. There's just very little trouble. It's calm. I believe you could keep a house sitting on sand and it would be good. It's when the troubles come. Rains descended, floods came, winds blew on both of them. You know, next time the devil tells you, you know what, the church is the one that's having all the troubles. Think about the hospitals being full of hurting people. The rain's descending, the floods are coming to everybody. And for Paul's example, floods came to him. He had a decision when it was his turn to make a decision. He had a decision to make, and he said, I'm going to take pleasure in these. Instead of them getting me down, I'm going to realize God is able to help me through this. No matter what happens, he's going to care for me. In Hebrews 10:35, cast not away your confidence. And I believe it's saying to us, don't cast your confidence in God away, because it has a great recompense, a reward. When we talk about faith, without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Faith is very important. Sometimes when I say the word faith, I think about being able to, if I have enough of this, I can get whatever I want in my life. And what am I going to be asking for? Good things. Just like that child, hey, I'd like to be able to swing on this swing next. I want the same thing in my life. Paul wanted the same thing in his. That's why he was praying. This trouble that I got, I'd like for it to be gone. But it's when it's my turn now to go through the difficult times that I'll be able to have the Lord walk there with me. There's another song that we sing. When I started long ago to trust Jesus, I was seeking for security. For I needed something steady to hold on to and something that would hold on to me. It says, I'm going to keep on holding on to Jesus. When it comes my time, when troubles start coming into my life, that I'll be able to realize he is with me still. And then I want to look at one more. It's Job's turn now. Job has had some very good things happen in his life. Job, the first chapter, tells us it begins with the successes in his life. It tells about the material blessings that he has in his possession. But then, just like the song, but then things change. And Job's down in the valley. The same chapter goes from success to calamity. Calamity is what God's allowing to be Job's turn. And then a lot of times we stop after the first and the second chapter of Job. Job has done so well in those two. I think the second chapter starts ending up with Job had some friends that came to be with him. And when they looked at how bad his situation was, they started weeping. And then they said they sat with him for 7 days and they never said a word. But you know what? In those 7 days, Job was saying some words. Because we look at the third chapter of Job, and in my Bible, it's titled, Job Laments His Birth. And that chapter he's talking about, I wish I would have never been born. I wish I would have never even started this life for all the trouble that's going through. You know, we don't ever hardly talk about that chapter with Job. That's when now Job's turn has come. He's lost his goods. He's lost all these things. And he's had a little bit of time to think about it. And he goes into some pretty sad thoughts. But I want to move on for a little bit because that's not the end of Job. What I love about it is, you know what, we can come into some pretty low places in our life. But it doesn't have to be the end of it. This is what got me to thinking about this title today. Is in Job, he had some friends. For 7 days, they were not saying a thing. Looked like they're all there to comfort him. But then in the next chapter, his friend starts talking to him. And it's a lesson for me. Because when his friend talked to him, he's letting him know, you know what? You were out there helping others so much. I want to look at that in the fourth chapter. Because now he says, your turn has come. This is Eliphaz talking to him. He says in third verse, behold, you have instructed many. Thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But then look what he says to him. But now it's come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled. Job, you, when good times were coming, you were just so happy and everything was going good for you. And now, Job, look at you. You're having a difficult time. And what's happening to you? When it comes to you, Job, you're fainting. You know, I can kind of feel that myself sometimes when difficult times come. But what I want to do is realize in those difficult times, when it's now my turn for something that I'd rather not have happen, I'm going to turn my eyes toward the hills. Here's where my help will come from. Because there's another verse in Proverbs 24:10, and it would have been for Job. It could also be for us. If thou faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You know, I can judge my spirituality in good times when the sun's shining and there's no problems. And I can say, I just give praise to the Lord. It just is continually on my lips. What about when trouble comes to me? Because what I love about this story, when it came Job's time, it's his turn now and he's going through this difficulty. He didn't stay in this place where he's wishing he had not been born. There are some places in Job 23 and 10, Job's back up on top of it now. I looked on the left hand, I looked on the right hand, in front of me, behind me, where he used to always be. You know, he didn't start the next verse saying, I wish I'd have never been born. No, he's come to the place now where I looked in all these places. He's not there right now, but he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. That's a total different way of looking at it there. And I tell you, we're going to have some things come to us. And I want you to remember the children at the swing set. I'd like to have an opportunity at this. This is some good things, and I'd love to be able to partake of it. We don't ever say, sign me up for the trouble that can come into my life, because it comes enough on its own. But when it does come, I can realize, like Job, I'm going to trust him. He says in Job 13 and 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Boy, that's some confidence built back up in God. Whatever trouble comes my way, when it is now my turn for the difficult times that come to me, God is able to help me. You know, we may have, maybe today and hopefully today, we have no troubles that are coming to us. But adversity may come to us tomorrow. When it does, I want us to be able to say, like Job, he knows the way that I'm taking. When he's tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. The beauty of trouble coming into our life, it does something for us. The trial of your faith, testing your faith in God, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth. You know, gold today has a real high price. But the trial of our faith and me being faithful through that time is so valuable for us. And I want to be able to be faithful. I want to close with one more song, because we've got to be able to realize this, to be able to go through it. It's song number 108. Though I walk in ways unknown, I am never left alone, for the Lord will not forsake me while I do His will. But whatever may betide, got this assurance, He's walking by my side. And by this I know He loves me still. And then it has, when the raging storm winds blow and the clouds are hanging low, when the waves are beating on me and the night is chill, then His presence in the storm quiets all my soul's alarm, and I know that He is with me still. In the chorus, He is with me still, in the sunshine or in the shadow. In the times when I say, I'd like to have a turn at that, that is so enjoyable. Or at the place where I say, like with Paul, got this trouble, I'd like for it to be gone from me. And in the sunshine or the shadow, He is with me still. Through our life, if we continue breathing, we're going to find we have the good times come to us, and I think it's good for us to enjoy them. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. To be able to do that, that means I praise Him when I'm getting the things that I wanted. I also praise Him when the difficult times come, like it did with Paul, to be able to realize, you know what, I still have much to be thankful for, because He has promised that He will never leave me nor forsake me. So when the times come that you'd rather not be in that situation, be very thankful that the Lord has promised to go with you through it. Maybe we could stand and sing that number 108.